Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Thinking big thoughts so you don't have to. Here's John Williams.
Yeah, I got something for you. How are you? Domity, I just need to ask you one quick question, but first I have to do this. There you go.
Lord, have mercy.
Hey, it's John Williams. We're in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue, and you're not, but you're listening to the radio, and we sure do appreciate that. Maybe you're listening to us on your phone or your device, or maybe you're actually in an automobile. Either way, we appreciate you tuning in, and if you want to join us along the way, the number is 312-981-7200. You can call or text to that number, and I'd love it if you did. So there I was at Nordstrom today because I needed to get a pair of shoes. And I found a pair of shoes that I thought, wow, these Sperry shoes are pretty dandy. And they were only $29.99. I thought that was a pretty good price, especially considering that all of the other shoes at Nordstrom were a lot more. Usually I'll shop Nordstrom Rack. I was in Nordstrom. I thought I'll check. $29 for Sperry's. I said, I'm in. So I went up to the counter and purchased them, and they gave me the bill, and it was $68. And I said, son of a gun, that's more than I thought. Sometimes I just shrug when I miscalculated, but this was a big shrug. So I pointed it out to them, and they go, oh. I said, let's go look. Went to the display, and on the bottom of the shoe that I had purchased, it said $29.99. And they said, oh, these are mislabeled. Those are $68 shoes. We will ring it up again. I thought that was a terrific service they provide to the customer.
You won.
I don't even know if I had said, no, that's not right. These are $68 shoes, not $29 shoes, and therefore I should pay $68 for them. There was a little angel on one of my shoulders, but the other angel that sat on its head pronto said, no, if they want to give you $68 shoes for $29, you take that, big boy, and I did.
I think you fought the good fight.
I didn't say a word.
Right.
I said thank you. I said thank you in the way that said, okay, we both know that's messed up, but I'm going to go ahead and take advantage of it, and you're not going to judge me. And it was kind of an unspoken look between me and Rachel behind the counter there. I said, thanks. And she said, sure. Click, 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 click. $29. I'll show them to you later on, Domity. I just couldn't look better.
You know I'm a Sperry's fan, too. You know,
I didn't know that. I didn't know if you were a shoe guy.
Yeah.
What's the matter, Ray? What's the matter, Rachel? That's the girl. What's the matter, Elif?
Is this the same type of ethic that we have about the $5 billion loan forgiveness for student loans?
I am not a fan of that. And yet, you're right. If somebody was going to forgive my loan, I think I'd be okay with it. But that still doesn't make it right.
Yeah.
But I think this, you know, there was a story over the weekend about stores that have very generous forgiveness policies like this, take back things, etc. I believe it was a big story about Land's End they did on CBS Sunday morning and how companies are struggling with that. And some of them are adhering to very generous customer service policies like this and others are not. I thought Nordstrom, which is famous for customer service, is still living up to its reputation. Nordstrom, once upon a time, took back a set of 4 radial tires from a customer. They don't sell radial tires, but the store that they were in used to be a hardware store that did. And when the guy in Alaska, I think it was, went back to the store, and now it's a Nordstrom instead of the garage, he still went and said, I bought radials here. And they go, well, we're Nordstrom. We're not the garage, but we'll take them back. It was like $200 back then, but they took back the tires, gave him his money back for the tires. That's Nordstrom for you. So I do appreciate what they did for me today. I also noticed then, as I was searching for $29 Sperry's, that the Converse, the low-top canvas Converse, the white ones with the red star, the kind you grew up with, are now about $60. And I don't like that about this, or this about that. Those aren't $60 shoes. Those are not $60 shoes. Those are flip-flops with laces. That's what those are. But because they're at Nordstrom and people are buying them as a fashion accessory, now they get to justify the uptick. It's not a $60 basketball shoe. It's a $60 fashion accessory, but I only see it as a basketball shoe. So it's completely misplaced and it's mispriced in my world. But here's the big revelation to me. I don't know if it was Varvatos or who it was. I'm not sure it was. But they had a shoe that looked like what I was interested in. It was a rubber-soled, canvas-sided, nice shoelace shoe. That should have been my tip. It had nice shoelaces. These are really swell shoelaces. But it was canvas, and there was no special insignia or stitching. It was just canvas, and it was a rubber sole. The shoe cost $545, okay? I bought automobiles for less than that. It was $545. I almost insisted that they also sell me that $500 pair of blue jeans they have with the holes in it, but I did not. Can you imagine? Canvas sneakers with a rubber sole and blue jeans with holes in them, new, over $1,000, I passed. But that's the world you live in. The president is on vacation. Oh, wait a minute. We've got calls are pouring in about this. That was just me saying hi. Ray, this is John. You're on WGN Radio. What do you want to do?
Yeah, John, and I remember something about a bet with your son that you never paid off. I'm starting to see a pattern there.
I want you to write this phone number down, all right? Have you got a pen handy, Ray, or can you remember a phone number?
Yes, I do, yes.
312-981-7200.
Yes.
Never call that number again.
Okay, I'll write her down.
Thank you now.
You bet.
Bye-bye. Years ago, we were bowling. I told my son if he could pick up the 6-10 split, I'd give him $1,000. I think it was $1,000. It might have been $10,000. It could have been $1,000,000. I wasn't giving him the money. He picked up the split. And years later, that haunts me. That is my albatross, Steve, and it's just not fair. It's
just
not
right. It never gets old. I love hearing about it.
Yeah. Let's talk to Judy. You're on WGN. Judy, what can I do for you?
Hi. I shopped at a woman's store recently that I go to all the time. They know me there. And I bought a dress, and it was on clearance, and I bought a bigger size because one of them that I, a dress I bought there before, didn't, was too small. So
right.
I bought a bigger size. So yeah. I wore the dress to a Sunday affair, and it was just too big. And I called the store up, and I said, I know this is crazy to ask, but will you take a dress back that I will, honestly, that I wore? I've taken the tags off. I still have the receipt in the bag, but can I exchange it? I just won't wear it. It's just too big. And they did. I got another dress, and I got a credit on my credit card.
And you fessed up to wearing it?
Yeah.
And what was that, Nordstrom?
Nope.
Who was?
You told me not to say the name.
Oh, no. You got bad information. Say the name.
J. Jill.
Oh, J. Jill. Really? Yeah. I've heard of them. I understand they sell clothing.
Yeah. Well, I shop there frequently, and I was said, I know this is done. And they said, come on in.
But I mean, why did you ask? I would not ask because I wouldn't think they would or would be able to do that.
Well, I think the reason is I've shopped there a lot, and it was a lovely dress, but I mean, I'm never going to wear this thing. I wasted this money.
Yeah.
And it really, really bothered me. They know me, so they said, sure.
Sure. I know. They want to keep you a happy customer. But Judy, so how long did you have the dress on your body?
One whole Sunday at a Sunday affair.
One little Sunday. All Sundays are 24 hours, Judy. And did you perspire? Did you perspire a lot that day?
I don't think so.
Thank you for the call, Judy. Have a good day.
Thank you.
I was working the road crew on I-94. Let's talk to Joe. I'm sorry, this isn't what I planned on talking about, but we'll hear these out. Sam Panionovich is in the studio. We've got a couple of sports questions to ask him, and then we do want to talk about the president's vacation, which I call Trumpcation. If the president goes on vacation, if it's 17, here's the thing. If Donald Trump goes on vacation for 17 days, and he said he's going to go to New Jersey and New York and do some work, whatever. He's on a 17-day vacation, which will always include work when you're the president. If he does that, that's his right. If you like this guy and think he's being hounded by the president, it's unfair, then he deserves a 17-day break. If you're not a big fan of Donald Trump and you think he's a child wearing a man's tie, then you also want him to take a 17-day vacation. In fact, you wouldn't mind if he took a 22-day vacation or maybe one that lasted until next November. You would be okay with that. I mean, there's nobody loses when this president takes a vacation. This is Krista. You're on WGN. Krista, what did you want to say?
Oh, I was just, when you were commenting on the great service that you got, I have noticed lately that when I do go to, say, like, this was marked at a different price,
yeah,
they kind of look at me like, oh, well, we're sorry. And I'm like, okay, you know, like, and they don't go to rectify it.
See, that's where I thought I was.
Yeah, I was so happy to hear you had had a positive experience, because I was at a store. I've been a couple where I'm the same as you. It was like, it's a couple bucks. So usually I'm like, whatever. But they didn't offer to make it right, which kind of left a bad taste in my mouth about the store, that the customer service person was like, oh, or it was in the wrong area. Well, I didn't put it in the wrong area.
Yeah, how am I supposed to know that?
Thing.
I just thought, what do you know,
right.
$29. And the thing is, then you feel like some cheapo if you go, well, for that price, a few
bucks.
And I'm like, well, no. So now, but the obligation should not be on me to give you more money than I thought I had to give.
Correct. I think you were in the right. Yeah. I see what you said. Like, yeah, you kind of felt bad, but that wasn't your, you know, you didn't market that price, so.
Actually, I did. I pulled the sticker off of the children's
section.
I did not do that, Krista. You may not say that on the radio. Thank you for the call. What's the matter, Producer Elif?
Well, I used to work at a clothing store, and whenever this happened, I was a stylist. So in other words, I was making commission off of my sales. And when this happened and someone asked me to honor it, I would get frustrated because I was losing...
That's money out of your pocket.
My pocket and the company's pocket, so the employees would get into trouble because someone had to take the blame for mispriced product.
The blame, but they wouldn't take the money out of your paycheck.
No.
But they would go, hey, Elif, why are these $60 shoes selling for $30? And you'd go, well, because they were mismarked.
Yeah.
Now the company loses $30, and I've just lost 5% of $30 or something like that.
Right, and you don't want to lose the company money either.
Yeah. But see, so what would you have done in that situation?
Well, I probably would have, I would have asked my manager what to do, and she probably, or he would have told me to honor it.
Honor the bad price.
At the place where I used to work,
yeah. Well, I think, unless it's happening all the time, I think you should need to sustain those hits. It's 1:21. We'll talk about the coming eclipse after 1:30. Sam Panionovich is in our studio. I got a couple sports questions for my Saturday sports friend. You do too. And they involve Jay Cutler.
I promise you, I will not be taking very long vacations if I take them at all. There's no time for vacation. We're not going to be big on vacation. You know, you think you'd want to work, straighten it out, get it done, fix it up, make it great. And then when you finish, you can be proud. But boy, are we a mess. Because I'm going to be working for you. I'm not going to have time to go play golf. Believe me.
More about that in the 2 o'clock hour.
Didn't he tweet, though, that it's really about rehab at the White House?
Yes, I noticed that. That was the first I had read of that, but that the rehabbing at the White House means that they need to move out. Maybe they're painting the bedroom or
long
putting...
Long planned, he said.
Well, you wouldn't expect him to not be entirely truthful about that. One of his first tweets this morning, I think it was the very first one, was the failing, here it is, the failing at New York Times, which has made every wrong prediction about me, including my big election win, apologized, is totally inept, ! And I didn't even know what he was talking about. There's a long story in the New York Times today about the president's ability to lie and get away with it. I guess he read that, and that began the beginning of a very, very bad morning for the president. It's 1:25. More about his vacation rights after 2. Sam Panionovich from WGN Sports in our studio. Hi, Sam. How are you?
Hey, J-Dub.
You and I visit on Saturdays a lot, and I sure enjoy that. I ask you to come in here once in a while and help me out on Mondays. Two stories to ask you about. First of all, how did you assess the Cubs against the Nationals over the weekend?
Well, I thought the homestand in general, they should have been 4-2, but two collapses by this bullpen, which has been lauded by Joe Maddon as being the best in baseball, and it's just not true anymore, including C.J. Edwards, whose ERA in the second half is about 9 right now.
Edwards gave up the Grand Slam?
He gave up the Grand Slam, yeah.
Carl Edwards, isn't
Carl Edwards Jr. It was C.J. Edwards, but he changed it.
What do we call him now?
Carl Edwards Jr.
Isn't that a chicken place?
That's a burger joint.
Yeah.
Carl's Jr.
Carl's Jr. Okay, so Carl Edwards gave up the Grand Slam. CJ no longer exists. Carl gave up the big hit.
And Kyle Schwarber with two errors, including one early. He just misplayed a ball poorly, to which Joe Maddon said, well, he makes that play 100 times out of 100. And I'm sitting there, wait, what?
Okay.
So those are two decisions down the stretch you have to figure out. Do you go defense for offense because Schwarber can't defend? He can't really hit this year either. Maybe Wilson Contreras can play a little bit of left.
How about Contreras?
Awesome.
Did you know he was going to be that good?
I didn't know it would be that well. Two home runs again yesterday. He's got 21 on the season. But he even said after the game yesterday, I don't care about the home runs. I'm disappointed we didn't win. We should have won that game. And he's totally right. They had a 4-1 lead. They lose 9-4.
Maybe we're getting ahead of ourselves if we see this as some sort of harbinger of things to come. I mean, first of all, we got to win our division. We got to win our division.
And that's what John Lester said, who started yesterday. I don't care about the Nationals. I don't care about the Dodgers. I don't care how we stack up. We just have to get in. And once you get in, whoever is playing the best at that point in time, whoever gets hot, they will win it all.
They've had five guys in a row hitting over 300.
They're really good. They have the power bats. The Dodgers have the power arms. And the Cubs are the defending champs.
This Bryce Harper kid, when he swings, he comes out of his hair. Some guys come out of their shoes.
It hurts my obliques to watch him.
I know. It is the most ferocious swing. And I guess it's a good enough swing. But, boy, he has some bad-looking at-bats, too.
Great hair, too, like yours.
His helmet comes off, and then he kind of does that, liquid Prel, the hair toss.
Do you catch him ever when he's rounding first?
Yes.
He flips the helmet off on purpose.
Yeah, so then he can then bring his hair down and whip it back. Yeah, baby. He hit a home run the other day, and when he comes into the dugout, one of his teammates ceremoniously lifts the helmet off so he can give it a whip. I don't know if that was just that one time or if that's his home run dance.
That's his deal, yeah. The hair. The hair is part of the deal.
Wow.
I imagine there's a Redken down the road, maybe a sponsorship, but there's a reason that he plays with that.
Jay Cutler's going to play for the Dolphins.
Now, before you say, oh, my God, I can't believe they're giving him $10 million. First of all, Ryan Tannehill, their
should-be starter. Oh, my God, they're giving him $10 million?
That's 23rd on the list of quarterbacks in the NFL.
Okay, fine, but still, $10 million.
That puts him right behind Mike Glennon, our Bears quarterback, who's making $15 million. So, money is money in the NFL. They just give it out. But Ryan Tannehill, the Dolphins starter, it's rumored he has a torn ACL. So Jay Cutler's relationship with Fox, already headed for a divorce. He was going to be the broadcaster, the number two broadcaster with Kevin Burkhardt. He was going to start later this month, but he takes the money and he's going to go down to Miami and he's going to start.
A lot of us were surprised to see him going into the broadcast booth because I don't think we have a sense of what he would be like in the booth, but he, at least his persona on the sidelines is that he's recalcitrant, that he's not pleasant. Have you heard him in the booth? Is he any good?
Well, he only did test runs, so the public hadn't heard that. He was going to make his debut, actually, for a Bears-Titans preseason game. We won't know. Maybe down the road. I don't know if other networks will want to let him go back
in. Okay, but this is what I think it would sound like. You do play-by-play of an average NFL play, and I'll be Jay Cutler.
Williams drops back, throws a laser beam, caught at the 40 as he rolls down to the 35. First down, Titans. Cigarette.
I know. Yeah. That's it. That's all I got for you.
Okay. I thought he would have been pretty good.
Why?
Because we're no longer prying into his decisions and his huddle.
Right. So he can speak freely now, and maybe that's pretty good.
Well, not anymore, because he's the quarterback in Miami, realigning with Adam Gase, former Bears offensive coordinator. They had a really good season in 2015. He only threw 11 picks that year.
Are you rooting for him then?
Yes, I am.
Why?
I like Jay. I thought Jay was a good dude. I enjoyed the rapport.
You're familiar with... We're talking about the same Jay Cutler,
yes.
Right?
Yes, yeah, we are. He never gave me any problems.
Really, as a fan?
Why aren't you rooting for him?
I don't know that I'm not. I didn't... That's not what we're doing right now. I'm asking
you
this
right.
Question.
I'm sorry. I'm laying down in the chair, not
as
you.
As a fan, weren't you sometimes angry at his attitude on the sidelines?
But I read the tea leaves there. I look at what the players and the teammates have said about him. A lot of them are praising him right now, including Jermon Bushrod, who he will play with in Miami. Give him a chance.
Sam Panionovich, thanks for visiting with us. I'll talk to you on Saturday, okay?
Guess how many playoff games Jay Cutler's played in. Putting you on the spot before
okay,
I go.
Okay, well, didn't they have a nice run in Denver? I'm going to go.
He's been in the league 11 years.
11 years? Three. Five
Two!
Say the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. Everybody, sing! See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. But the most important part was where he said, goodbye, Rose, Queen of Corona. The Queen of Corona is the nickname I gave the Director of Public Observing at the Adler Planetarium. Her name is Michelle Nichols. She's in our Allstate Showcase studio on Michigan Avenue. Welcome back to our program.
Thank you, King John. It is an honor to be here.
Stop. So why do we call you the Queen of Corona? Because that's what we see around the moon when it gets in line with the sun?
Absolutely right. That's what you see when the moon 100% blocks the sun during a total solar eclipse.
It's called the corona.
Call the Corona. It's that white wispy stuff.
Corona or Corona?
Corona.
As in the beer?
As in the beer.
I want to read to you page 3 of the special pullout section of Sunday's New York Times about the solar eclipse. We asked you to come in. Last time she was here, all the phone lines lit up and we didn't get a chance to take many calls. If you have a question about the solar eclipse later this month, how do you go, where do you go, what do you do? Most fascinating thing you said last time, call now, 312-981-7200. The most fascinating thing you said last time is that when we were at the totality, where it's the dark spot, you don't have to have these fancy glasses I have on my head. You can look directly unaided at the sun.
That's absolutely right.
I don't think people knew that. I'm worried about giving that information out because if they don't time it correctly and are looking straight at it, getting too much exposure, they could hurt their eyes.
Absolutely. So the thing you have to remember, here in the Chicago area, you're going to need the glasses. If you're going to want to look at the sun, you are going to need the glasses. And
in the Chicago area.
In the Chicago area.
Even during the totality.
And because we won't get totality here.
Right. And in fact, a friend of mine said she looked it up and it said we're going to have like a 87% blockage here. That is, she thought, wow, it's going to get really dark. You addressed this last time.
Yeah, not really, because it's your eyes, your pupils are just going to keep kind of opening up slowly. And so even if it does get slightly darker, you really aren't going to notice. Our sun is deceivingly bright.
So here in Chicago, we wouldn't know that a five-hour drive away, it's pitch black.
Yeah, you may not even realize if you don't know the eclipse is happening, it really isn't going to look a whole lot different.
From this special pullout section of the New York Times on Sunday, they write, March 2006, this is from a person who saw a total eclipse like you did once upon a time. I stood on a crowded beach in Turkey and waited until at the allotted time, with a chorus of screams and cheers and whistles and applause, the sun slid away. And impossibly, impossibly, we saw above us a stretch of black sky, and in the middle of it a hole, blacker than anything I'd ever seen, fringed with a ring of soft white fire. My heart jumped up to my throat, and my eyes grew hot with tears. I fell to my knees, feeling tiny and huge, and as lonely as I've ever been, but also astonishingly close to the crowds around me. Totality, that point of a solar eclipse when the sun is entirely covered by the moon, is incomprehensible. And you described it almost in those terms.
Exactly right.
At living it when we spoke last week.
And the only difference was I just didn't fall to my knees. Luckily, I had a ship's railing right in front of me, and I grabbed onto it. And
was it this one that you witnessed?
No,
2006?
No, it was August 1999. And we were in a cruise ship in the Black Sea.
So you told us you cried, or nearly did.
Totally did.
And you know, I'm enough of a science geek to appreciate this, but I've been poo-pooing it a little bit because it's not, to me, such a phenomenon. It's been on the calendar for 2,000 years. So it's not like this doesn't happen. But the more I read about it and the closer we get, the more jazzed I am about this thing.
Yeah, it's not the frequency that determines how amazing it is. It's the spectacle itself. It's the actual sight in the sky. There's nothing like it.
And never in American history have we had a total eclipse on our shores.
No, we definitely have. So the last time there was a total solar eclipse that touched the lower 48, that was February 26th, 1979.
That's what it says here in the New York Times. But do we have the total solar eclipse then here?
Yes. Yeah. Well, it was in the northwestern U.S.
This is the first time in the nation's history that the path of a total eclipse has fallen wholly on the continental United States.
That's true, yeah. The U.S. is the only country that will see totality for this
eclipse. Oh, I see. So we've shared it with other countries.
Correct,
before.
Yeah. In 79, we shared it with Canada. In 91, when it went over to the Big Island of Hawaii, we shared with Mexico.
Got it. And by the way, it was taxed at 28% at the time. That's a tax joke. Okay, so this is the American solar eclipse.
The
then.
Great American Eclipse is the moniker.
Is actually what they're calling that.
Yeah.
If you've got a question or comment, we'll take it. Let's go to Jeff. You're on WGN. Hi, Jeff. This is John. What can we do for you?
Hi, John. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I remember the last time we had a partial eclipse. You can't really notice looking around, but all the shadows on the ground from the trees are in a crescent shape. It looks really strange. That's about all I can notice about it.
Yeah, so the leaves and the trees, the little pinholes in the leaves, spaces between the leaves, will act like pinhole projectors and will project images of the crescent sun down onto the ground. So if you don't have the glasses, look down under the trees and you will see this eclipse. Yeah.
Will you see that in Chicago, yes, even though it won't be very dark here?
Yes, absolutely.
How cool is that? Huh.
It just needs to be clear.
Thanks, Jeff. Yeah. And so, you know, everybody's making plans. A lot of people are. Millions of people are making plans to go to a place that doesn't have millions of beds. You know, you don't have to go to a stadium or an event. I guess you could just be on the road driving down the road and it's still going to happen.
Yep, absolutely. That's what a lot of folks are wondering about. I don't have a hotel room. Well, there are only 3,000 hotel rooms in all of Southern Illinois in the path. So what do you do? There are still hotels outside the path. So Effingham, Decatur, Champaign, drive part of the way down there. And then that morning, get yourself up as early as you can, get down to the path. And there are going to be people pulling off on the side of the road. Now, don't do that on Interstate 57 or any of the major expressways. But there are going to be people pulling off on the side of some small road somewhere, and you can enjoy it there as well.
That might be kind of cool, too, to drive through it.
Yeah, and I would highly recommend pack your car as if you are going camping, even if you're not planning to go camping, because you may be stuck there a while.
What do you mean by that?
Because there won't be there'll be traffic getting there. But what we're all going to stagger our arrivals. Everyone's going to want to leave at the same time.
Oh, I see what you mean, yeah.
Yeah, and so you might get stuck in your car for a while.
This is in today's Chicago Sun Crimes. Illinois Department of Transportation officials said efforts are underway to make sure traffic keeps moving and roadways are safe during the upcoming solar eclipse. The Carbondale area in southern Illinois is in the path. The rest of Illinois will see a partial eclipse. IDOT officials say lane closures for major state projects in southern Illinois will be temporarily lifted during the weekend. They expect 200,000 people to visit southern Illinois to view the eclipse and the festivities.
Yeah, I've even heard 300,000 to 400,000 possibly. It depends on if it's clear or not.
Mm.
And so, yeah, just be careful. Pull off in a safe area. Bring water, bring food, bring cash, because the credit card transactions may be delayed with the sheer number and volume of people using networks in a small area.
Sort of like being at the Olympics and nobody's cell phone works because everybody's doing the same thing at the same time.
Exactly.
Line two is Tom. You're on WGN. Tom, what can we do for you?
Hi, thanks. Really enjoy the show. My question is, as it gets closer to the August 21st total eclipse, it's just like you said, I'm getting more jazzed about it because it's really exciting. My question is, I think, and I'm not quite sure, I'm hopefully to get an answer, the next eclipse in the Chicago area, total eclipse, is that in April of 2024?
No, that one is also going to be a partial in the Chicago area. That path is going to run up through Austin, Texas. Austin, Texas, Indianapolis will get part of Indianapolis will get totality. But the next total solar eclipse to actually touch part of Chicago is in 2099.
Okay,
that's not any help at all.
Okay, but wait a minute. Hold on a second.
But we'll be pretty close to with Indianapolis.
There will be a total solar eclipse September 2nd, 2035. Mm-hmm. And 18 short years, but that one will be in Central Asia and Europe. Indonesia, actually, it looks like. Way over there.
So if I'm understanding correctly, like Indianapolis in April of 2024, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. April 8th, 2024.
Okay.
Yep. And there are Google Maps. There's a Google map that you can go on where there's a gentleman. His name is Xavier, X-A-V-I-E-R, Xavier Hubier, J-U-B-I-E-R. He has created clickable Google Maps where you can click on the map and see where the eclipse is going to be, how much is going to be covered, how much of the sun is going to be covered. And he's done it for quite a number of eclipses coming up. So you can go online and check out his maps.
So that one in Indianapolis in 2024, what will you see then?
It'll be totality in part of Indianapolis. Yes. I'm not sure. I can't remember if it's the entire city. I don't think it is.
7 years, mark your calendars.
Exactly.
You handed me these safer direct solar viewing paper glasses,
yep.
Sunglasses
yep.
made out of paper, like you might go to a 3D movie. already text, where do I get the glasses? Where do I get the glasses?
So definitely don't use the ones that you get at the 3D movie. Those aren't the right ones. But you want to get safe solar viewing glasses at the Adler Planetarium. We're going to start handing them out on August 11th up through August 20th. And so as well as the Adler's Eclipse Fest on August 21st. So we are handing them out while supplies last. So come on down and get them from us.
Starting this Friday. And they also have a $3 off coupon on the side.
Yep. And a 10% off membership coupon.
You have questions about this event, the big solar, the American solar eclipse?
The Great American Eclipse.
312-981-7200. Lots of calls and texts and more answers from Michelle Nichols, the Director of Public Observing at Adler Planetarium on WGN. We're happy to have in our studio again Michelle Nichols. She's at Adler, the Director of Public Observing. Explain that to me.
Anything having to do with the sky, looking up, telescopes, observing the wonderful resource we all share above us, that's what I do.
And again, if you don't have Sunday's New York Times, they have a special pull-out section with really intricate charts of how the sun and moon and Earth line up and the history of it, and then a great big double-page fold-out of a total solar eclipse, which is actually a little underwhelming. It's a big black spot with a black circle in the middle and then a white corona around it, but there she is. You probably find that exhilarating. And then they show the path of it as it works its way across the United States. St. Louis will be on the edge of the totality.
That's right. That's right. And I see one of the questions that someone has on one of the lines, that why Southern Illinois? Well, Southern Illinois is not the only place you're going to see totality. It's in about a 65, 70-mile wide band going from Oregon to South Carolina, passing through Carbondale. So in terms of the closest place to here to see totality, it'd be Southern Illinois. But you can go in that path across the country. And
Is that you, Bob? Is that kind of what you were interested in?
That's exactly. So in Chicago, we're not going to see totality then?
Correct. We will see a partial eclipse, about 86, 87% here.
But, well, yeah, and when she says that, I just want to caution everybody thinking, well, that's okay. We'll just watch. 87% is still pretty good. If you dim your lights down 87%, it'll be pretty dark in the room. That is not going to be the case here. You would not notice it if you didn't know.
Pretty much. Our sun is pretty bright, but you would notice the shadows around you are going to get sharper. And so those are some observations.
Sharp shadows. I want totality, baby. And so you could go to Kansas City. You could go to St. Louis or Carbondale. You could go to Knoxville, Tennessee or Nashville.
Yep.
And just head a little south or north if, you know, you want to make a vacation out of it and have better accommodations than Carbondale or Marion, Illinois. So I hope that helps, Bob.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Yeah, yeah. Peter's on WGN. Hey, Peter, how can we help you?
There's this eclipse mega movie online that's supposed to simulate the eclipse in your area. How is that accurate at all? It shows it getting pretty dark, like in Aurora.
Illinois?
Yeah, Aurora.
Yeah,
Illinois.
You can type in your zip code on some of these, and it'll show you.
Yeah, so if you're talking, if it's the eclipse map that Xavier Hubier has made, it is really accurate. But if it's what they're showing is not necessarily how dark it's getting. They're showing the coverage of the sun. So so just be careful with where it shows that it's getting dark. So it's not going to really get all that dark.
So 87% sounds dark, but 13% of the sun's light is still a lot of light. It still will illuminate the day. In fact, here's a fun little statistic. So you say, how is it that the tiny moon is able to block out the gigantic sun? Think about that. The sun is 400 times larger than the moon. That the moon gets in the way should still leave 399 times as much sunlight as we'd get. Your thoughts?
The sun is 400 times farther away. The moon is 400 times closer. So it all just evens out pretty darn well. And you can also do a little experiment. My little, like, couple inches long thumb, if I stick my thumb out, I can cover up the tops of some of the buildings that are here. But if I walk up to that building, my thumb is tiny compared to the tops of buildings. It's all a matter of how far away you're getting and can you just get the right perspective. So it's all perspective.
Somebody said that while the sun is 400 times bigger than the moon, the moon is 400 times closer than the sun.
Yep.
Maybe that's the same way of saying what
you
just said.
Yep, that's exactly right.
Patrick, you're on WGN. How can we help you? You're on the air.
I'm wondering why it is different when you look at a eclipse than looking at the sun any other day of the year?
It's actually a rather interesting question. It's not terribly different, except the more sun you're covering, your eyes will adjust to the sun slightly. So your pupils will dilate a little bit more, and so you're letting in a little more light, a little more harmful rays than you normally would. I mean, I would never tell anyone to stare at the sun any day, so you definitely don't want to do it with your unaided eye on the day of an eclipse.
While they last, thank you for the call. Adler Planetarium will be giving away free sunglasses to watch the eclipse with. Even if you're in Chicago and you decide to look up, should you have the glasses on?
Yes, absolutely.
They're handing them out starting on Friday while they last. In the Southern Illinois area, about 1:20 in the afternoon.
That's correct. That's 1:20.
Yep. And it's not this week. It is on the 21st.
And folks want to know where else they can get glasses? There are vendors listed on the American Astronomical Society website.
American Astronomical.
Eclipse.aas.org.
Eclipse.aas. It almost sounds like a bad word, .org.
That's why I have to be very careful when I spell it out.
Will you come into our studio next Monday as well?
I will be on the road, actually. We're going to do our Galaxy Ride outreach program down to Southern Illinois, and some folks who want to educate with us, and we're going to have a lot of fun down there.
How about next Saturday? Will you come on my show on Saturday?
This coming Saturday?
Yeah.
Anything for you, Joe.
We can do this off the air, but I'm always enjoying your conversation. Thanks for visiting with us.
Thanks, John.
And I will make plans to visit with you yet one more time. Michelle Nichols, Director of Public Observing at Adler Planetarium. Isn't it great? We got somebody like her here in Chicago.
Thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to.
I got one.
Here's John Williams.
From Lou Manfredini. Who'd have thunk? He said, save this text message.
Lord have mercy.
Wait, that's somebody saying, okay, what you're about to read is awesome. President Trump doesn't even precede text with, save this one. All right, what have you got for us, Lou? When Sam Panionovich was in here talking sports with us, telling us how Jay Cutler is going to go play for Miami, and that Panionovich isn't a Cutler hater and blah, 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 Lou Manfredini texted me and said, save this text message, Jay Cutler is going to the Super Bowl. So I texted back, as a spectator or as a player? Like, I could go to the Super Bowl. Doesn't mean I'll be wearing a helmet and a jockstrap. I will be wearing a jockstrap, but that's a different topic. So Lou has not gotten back to me on that yet. But Jay Cutler is going to lead the Miami Dolphins. This is good news for my future daughter-in-law because she's a huge Dolphins fan, and she has had nothing to celebrate of late. Now she's got that plus Cutler. Okay. And Lou Manfredini said Cutler is going to the Super Bowl. Again, did not distinguish if he meant, wow, I got tickets to the Super Bowl. Maybe he'll be a Cub reporter for the West Fort Lauderdale Gazette. I don't know. Maybe he'll be the starting quarterback and they'll be in the Super Bowl. Lou leads me to believe he actually thinks Cutler is going to lead them to the promised land. Good for him on that. We are in round five of our Cuckoo Trump brackets. If you like me on Facebook, and I hope you do, I'm King John on Facebook. We're also WGN Radio on Facebook. You'll find the Cuckoo Trump brackets there. Steve, you don't have to tell me how you'd vote, but tell me if you can tell me how people voted. As we advance through the various rounds, we had, for instance, the CNN Body Slam retweet where he put the CNN logo on the face of a person that he was body slamming at a world wrestling event.
Yeah.
That's the CNN Body Slam retweet versus the fake Time magazine covers. What was a more definitive Cuckoo Trump moment?
Body slam.
Time covers advances.
What?
Covfefe versus inviting women he said President Clinton assaulted to one of the debates.
Covfefe.
Covfefe should have. It's going to be sad to not have them to kick around anymore, but Clinton women at the debate advances. Escalator ride when he announced his candidacy versus the Cinco de Mayo picture of him in front of a taco bowl.
Cinco de Mayo.
Cinco de Mayo taco bowl advances.
Finally.
His bizarro handshakes versus shoving the Prime Minister of Montenegro out of the way at the NATO summit.
Summit shove.
Summit shove advances. Frankly, summit shove, also known as the Montenegro shove, which also sounds like a dance. Do the Montenegro shove, was a wild card and is now going to have to take on Taco Bowl, What do you think advances, Montenegro shove or taco bowl?
Montenegro shove.
You may be right on that. We'll see. That's future voting. Women at the debate will take on time covers.
The restaurant that he got the taco bowl from,
yeah,
they didn't make taco bowls, right? Wasn't that part of the story?
I think he got it from the Trump Tower restaurant.
Right, and taco bowls weren't on their menu.
Billy Bush tape versus Boy Scout Jamboree speech.
Well, it should be Billy Bush tape.
And Billy Bush tape does it. No, no, no! Boy Scout Jamboree speech in a stunning upset overtakes the Billy Bush tape. Here's one thing that people are doing in the voting, and I don't think they're wrong about this. I mean, both of those were just bizarre, bizarre cuckoo moments. The Billy Bush tape, the Jamboree speech. You know why I think the Boy Scout speech advanced?
It's fresh.
Because it's while he's president.
Okay.
The Billy Bush tape, he wasn't even a candidate. Some of these happened when he was a candidate. I think it's even more unsettling. It's even more cuckoo when the incumbent does these sorts of things. So the Boy Scout speech advances. Obama wiretapped me versus the Megyn Kelly comments. Wiretap advances, probably for the same reason. And now you've got a chance to vote on this. And this is just like, which of your kids do you like better or hate more? You've got Spicer defending the size of the crowd at the inauguration. Maybe the quintessential Trump moment versus John McCain isn't a hero because he got captured.
Not close.
What's going to win?
Spicer.
I have Spicer winning the whole thing. So I think Spicer, because I just think for every way and reason, that was the definitive Trump moment so far. And it was the first Trump moment, too. So we'll see. Like us on Facebook and you can vote right there. King John on Facebook or go to the WGN Radio Facebook page. While we're on this topic, this is our one Trump topic today. The president is on a 17-day break. It's going to cost us jillions of dollars. And by the way, that money will be spent at Trump properties. That is, I think, the only reasonable conversation to have about this. Is he taking 17 days off? Yes. Is that more than Barack Obama took in a given year? That is, he's now more than Barack Obama took in a year. I don't think that's a reasonable conversation. The president can never escape the job. He's not going to Timbuktu. He's going up the coast to New Jersey. I mean, it's no big deal. It's on his way to New York. So I don't really care where the president is. And it's always expensive to have a president. I'm not real wrapped up in how much money it costs for the Secret Service detail or the kids or his wife or whoever's coming with him. I don't think any of that is fair or important conversation. The only thing I think that we might concern ourselves with is where is all of that money being spent, and it's being given to the president because it's his property that he goes on vacation to. But I actually think that's just a quibble, too. Is quibble a word? Quibble? Yeah. Because here again, it's the amount of Donald Trump's already a billionaire. Now he's going to make millions. I don't love this, but there it is. And the United States is a trillion-dollar country, and we got money. We got the money to safeguard the president and his people. So while it would be nice if he did it differently, who are we kidding here? He's not interested in making you happy about his vacation plans.
So, but what are you saying? So, like
I'm saying all of this is much ado.
But the government has to rent rooms at his place.
It's stunning the amount of, they have to rent so many rooms. They're having to put people up in rooms outside the Trump property just to handle the crush of need for his vacation. So, what's your point?
No, I wasn't sure about it because I'm just thinking. You know, President Bush would go to Crawford, Texas a lot.
Yeah, right. And he took more vacations than any of them.
He would go almost every weekend. I mean, he rarely spent the weekend in D.C.
Yeah.
But then it would be the local Super 8, right, that would get the money.
It was not his property.
They weren't staying on his ranch.
That's the only distinction, I think, here that's worth noting. And so what do? Tell a guy who owns a bunch of resorts you can't go to your resorts? You got to go to somebody else's resort? What's he going to do at Camp David, for crying out loud? Fish? I mean, he's not going to fish.
It's a cesspool.
He's not even going to. I know. No, that's New Hampshire.
Oh, yeah, right.
No, wait, New Hampshire's not a cesspool.
Yeah, New Hampshire.
Was it a cesspool?
Yeah, wasn't it a cesspool?
No, it was a den. It was a drug den. Oh, I'm trying to remember what he called New Hampshire. David, what did he call New Hampshire? My shadow's looking at
it. It wasn't the Granite State. We know that.
And then you just like to think that he'd get away from it. As much as we all need to divorce ourselves from our devices to stay away from him, he needs to stay away from us. We need a total solar vacation.
Were you a little disappointed with the tweets today?
I was surprised. I mean, I thought, here's what's going to happen. He's going to wake up. He's not going to have a lot of presidential stuff. He's on vacation. He doesn't know what to do with that. He's going to have more time to read the New York Times and watch something besides Fox and Friends, and he's going to be in a bad mood. And lo and behold, he just went on a tear this morning.
So let's say it wasn't Donald Trump, because he, you know, does his own rules. Yeah. And it was, let's say it was Barack Obama or George Bush or a combination of the two.
Bill Clinton.
And they owned a resort property where they were going to go spend the week. What would you expect them to do? I mean, I would expect them, there would at least be a conversation, wouldn't there, about...
It's just in drug-infested den.
Drug-infested
That's den. Now on their license plates. They're right. Taking Granite State off and putting up drug-infested den. Okay, so Barack Obama and Michelle have an inn in Chicago, and they're staying there now.
Right, and so wouldn't you know there'd be conversations about, okay, typical occupancy rate and... this percentage reimbursement, right? What's the right thing to do?
I don't know. I think the first question you're asking me is, should they even stay there? And
They can stay wherever they want.
Okay, so they can't stay at their property. So now you want them to give a discount to Secret Service?
Well, I think that they shouldn't be able to make the argument or their opponents.
I'll bet they jack the rate. I'll bet they're charging double.
And that's what I'm saying you can't do. And that would be trouble.
Okay. I don't have any evidence of that. I haven't had that. New York Times hasn't reported that yet.
Failing New York Times.
Well,
by the way, it's so funny. MSNBC, just the ratings is out. out.
Yeah.
And they're doing very well. I think Rachel Maddow was the number one evening host.
I'd heard that a week ago. She still is, or is
I
now
guess.
Anyway.
I just was reading something today. But they still can't catch Fox.
Fox still has better ratings?
Fox still is winning overall.
Okay. Well, good for them. That's
I know,
small.
But it's just funny the news is like, oh, here comes NBC. Well, no, not really. They're still number two.
You know, you were giving me a lesson last week. You were actually sad that, A, I give Trump voters a pass. I like to say they couldn't know it was going to be this bad.
I'm not sad. I'm angry.
And you were also angry at me for saying last week that, what was my other angle on this?
Well, there's so many.
No, remember?
Yeah, I do. It was that they couldn't be held responsible. And, that half of the Trump voters believed that he won the popular vote. 49% believed he won the popular vote. And you said, no, they don't. They're just saying that.
I say they're just saying that to make everybody crazy.
And that makes me crazy because you're in your sunny optimism. Everything's going to be great around here.
Yeah.
I think you got your head in the sand.
Maybe I do. Boy, my son sure took exception to it. He and my wife gave it to me over dinner a couple nights later.
Did you record it? I would love to hear it.
I don't have a recording of it, Steve. You'll have to take my word for it. Yeah. That ain't fake news. So... there was a story in the New York Times over the weekend. Many politicians lie, but Trump has elevated the art of fabrication, which is what I think got him off to a bad vacation. And in there, they say what you said, the percentage, and I'm about to find it. I've got the story in front of me, of Republicans who think that President Trump is doing a good job today is in the 70s. 70%+ of Republicans still think that this guy is doing a good job. I mean, you might like him. I don't even know how you do that. But how do you discern that he's doing a good job? A staggering percentage of Republicans still feel that way. I don't have the exact number in front of me, but
And that would be admitting that they were wrong. You know, if you're a Trump voter or you're an Obama voter, and then you have to say he's doing a lousy job, then you have to. That's admitting that you're wrong. So that's a hard thing to do.
Well, I think that's
different than saying that he won by the popular vote. That's an objective fact. That's not an opinion.
Let's see here. Here they're just talking about his false claims. Yeah, but this is an interesting factoid to share. The glaring difference between Donald Trump and his predecessors is the sheer magnitude of the falsehoods and exaggerations. PolitiFact rates just 20% of the statements it has reviewed by the president to be true. 20% of the things he has said, according to PolitiFact, are true, and a total of 69% are either rated mostly false or liar, liar, pants on fire. It's almost, well, in fact, it is the exception that when he says something of a controversial nature, it is in fact truthful. That is quite the exception rather than the rule. So how did he start his day then? So there he is on vacation. So he gets up, looks at the Times, looks at the coverage from, I don't know, ABC and goes, ooh. And then he grabs his phone and says, I'll teach them. I don't know where Melania is. The failing at New York Times, which has made every wrong prediction about me, including my big election win, apologized. Again, just he starts the day with a lie to the American people, insisting that the New York Times apologized for their coverage of the election. They did not. And then he says, they're totally inept. And then he texts, or tweets rather, the Trump base is far bigger and stronger than ever before, despite some phony fake news polling. Look at rallies in Pennsylvania, Iowa, Ohio, and West Virginia. The fact is, the fake news Russian collusion story, record stock market, border security, military strength, jobs, Supreme Court pick, economic enthusiasm, deregulation, and so much more have driven the Trump base even closer together. We will never change. Every time he lists his series of accomplishments, he always puts SC in there. I'm not sure exactly how picking somebody to be a Supreme Court justice is a great accomplishment by the president. It's his job. You have to pick someone. I guess it's a victory because the Senate approved his pick, but I don't know that I would count that one of my great accomplishments. It's like saying you got to go get the mail in the morning because it's there. It's what you do. Then he tweeted, hard to believe that with 24/7 hashtag fake news on CNN, ABC, NBC, CBS, NY Times, and WAPO, the Trump base is getting stronger. And then he tweeted, working hard from New Jersey while White House goes through long-planned renovation, going to New York next week for more meetings. And then he tweeted, interesting to watch Senator Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut talking about Russian hoax collusion when he was a phony Vietnam con artist. Never in U.S. history has anyone lied or defrauded voters like Senator Richard Blumenthal. He told stories about his Vietnam battles and conquests, how brave he was, and it was all a lie. He cried like a baby and begged for forgiveness like a child. Now he judges collusion. And those are, from the President of the United States, his tweets. That's how he started his day and his vacation. I swear to God, if I'm Ivanka, I kick in the door and go, Dad, this is a fishing pole. Get on a boat and go catch some fish. Stop it already. Doesn't happen. But I've digressed. My point was to defend the president's right to take an expensive vacation, and there I sit. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. I believe you're with me on this one, right? No one has any problems with his taking a little break. This is Tom. Thanks for holding, Tom. What did you want to say?
Well, before I get into what I want to say, we have to go back and remember Bubala, Matt's equation, 5 out of every 9, right?
There's a song, win 5 out of 9, it'll be playoff time. That's the Bubala. If you win 5 out of 9, you win 90 games. Thank you for remembering that, Tom.
They're a little behind that pace, but if they finish the rest of the season 5 out of 9, they'll be close to 90. So.
Hey, hold on a second. Seriously, we're not winning 5 out of 9 this year?
No, we're just like 5 games above .500, maybe. I didn't look because they lost 2 or 3. And...
yeah. Huh. What's up? What's on your mind, Tom?
Okay, sort of. I feel like you're Greek chorus at times. the White House is under renovation, so he had to go somewhere.
Right.
And as did the whole West Wing. I mean, they're all been kicked out.
Yeah.
So this they're sort of discombobulated
a little.
This
is a bad job by the mainstream media. I did not know that until I read the president's tweet. All I heard was 17-day vacation scandal. I didn't hear they had to leave the West Wing because of renovations. I'm not pulling your leg. If that's true, I should have known that. I follow the mainstream media. I did not know that.
Well, like I said, Greek chorus kind of sort of thing. And the other thing is that the... that tweet about the president's head on the World Wrestling thing, that was a retweet. He didn't actually have enough.
Yeah, I knew as soon as I said that, someone would catch me. I mean, yeah, he retweeted it. He didn't create that GIF or whatever it was. But, yeah, I think my point's made that he retweeted it.
Oh, you know, John, it doesn't change your narrative.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It does not change the narrative at all. It's just that you have taught us, those of us who have been to the Jefferson and Roosevelt things, and I was at many of them started at LT, that, you know, you've taught us to kind of remind you occasionally of that sort of thing.
So amen to that.
Trepidation.
I'm really glad you're listening, Tom, and thank you for the phone call.
Goodbye.
Hey, Tom, are you going to our Roosevelt show this weekend?
No, because I think I've got the tapes. Unless it's going to be really new.
Here's what I'm going to do for you, Tom. If you want to go, I'll pull two tickets aside, and you can judge accordingly. But I'm going to give you two free seats if you want them, okay?
I appreciate it. Which show?
Hold on. I'll see what I got for you. The first one, the second one sold out. The 10 a.m. tickets, there's about 100 seats still available. No bad seats, but we've only got about 100. And Tom, on line one, if you want to be my guest, I'd love to make that happen. Mel, you're on WGN. What did you want to say? Hi, Mel.
Hi. What I want to say, John, is that just because I've been hearing all this rhetoric about how wonderful Trump is and blah, 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 I went back to the internet over the weekend and I looked at George W. Bush. And when he took office, the market was at 10.5. When he left, it was 8.82, okay, 8,200. Unemployment was at 4.22 when he took over. It was at 7.6 when he left.
You're talking about Bush 43. Okay, and what's your point about all of that?
Well, I mean, and then when Clinton took office, unemployment was at 7.3. When he left, it was at 4.2. When Obama took office, unemployment was at 7.4, which means he took over for George W. When he ended, it was at 4.8. The stock market was at 8, and it ended at 19 when Obama left. Now it's at 22. Big deal. It went a couple of grand. So right now, unemployment was 4.3 or 4.8.
Well, hold on. Okay, so your point is that the economy does better under Democrats. Is that your point?
Exactly, and the damn Republicans are saying it's the opposite. Well, go look at history. They're wrong.
Thank you for the phone call, Tom, or Joe, rather. I appreciate your listening. It's 229 on WGN. This sanctuary status story is interesting to me, too. I don't know if, Steve, you're going to do that in this newscast. You've been using it today. Will you be talking a little bit about that here in this upcoming news?
Yeah, we're going to talk about that.
I've got a couple questions for you about this as well. 312-981-7200. Chicago's front and center on WGN. Just two quick points before we go to the news. One is when we were talking with our friends from the Adler Planetarium a little while ago about the fact that you can get those glasses to see the eclipse. We mentioned that on Friday, the Adler Planetarium is going to be handing out free eclipse sunglasses. They have 200,000 of them. They'll give them away while they last. And also, let's see, what's today's date, Steve? Has that been published? Today's the 7th. On the 14th, a week from today, all of the Chicago Public Libraries will also be giving away while they last. All of the branches of all the Chicago Public Libraries will be giving away those free glasses as well. And then one other note. We were talking about the president's approval ratings, and here's the number. According to CNN, which is just quoting a survey from, but I'm trying to think of who it was. Anyway, it was Quinnipiac. Late June, Donald Trump's approval rating by Republicans was 84%. Today, the president's approval rating by Republicans is 76%. That's the glasses still half full. It's 76% full. Last night's episode of Game of Thrones, I would say in the pantheon of television, was one of the top 10 television episodes I've ever seen. David, what's the name of the gal that rides around on the dragon? Cersei? No, Daenerys. Yeah, Danny. Holy cow. I'm not kidding. You know, God bless Nick DiGilio, because Nick, is there a Nick DiGilio fan club? I will be president of it, or at least a happy member. And Nick had a very funny post today. He said, you know, I can't quote him, and if I did exactly, I would be cussing. But he said something like, I wish I could find a way to give a poop about this whole Game of Thrones thing, but I'm just not there with you. And then a lot of people chimed in immediately and said, thank you, Nick. We're the same way. You know, we can't bear all of this Game of Thrones talk, Game of Thrones talk. We don't watch Game of Thrones, or if we do, we don't love it. We're not in on it. And it's not an inexpensive show to watch because it's a premium channel. You got to get HBO, and that's not free. It's only 8 episodes, so we're halfway through the season. Can you believe that? But you got the feeling, so I watched Game of Thrones. I couldn't tell you a thing about it. I don't know the names of people. I can't follow the storylines. It's really not important enough to me to follow the storylines. I know there's these White Walker monsters. I know there's a bunch of really powerful women. I know there's epic clashes and a lot of people standing around saying, but you betrayed my father. And it's just all very dramatic and cool. But I don't even care about how things are connected or who's angry at who. I can just tell it's great television. I don't know if you do this, but I'm watching it casually. I cannot have a meaningful conversation with you about the strategy or where it's going because I don't know. But they had this episode last night where this gal's flying around on a dragon. And I don't know where the fuel is coming, because you think if you're shooting like a blowtorch, like a flamethrower, gigantic volumes of fire, that you have to have some sort of butane or methane or jet fuel in your gut. And I would think that would make it difficult for you to survive. But nobody seems to care about that. And this dragon is just flying around and whoo, he's just blowing, or she's just blowing, this immense stream of fire and wiping out the opposing army. You kind of felt bad for those guys because they were getting stuck with arrows and incinerated, and it really looked bad for them. And then one guy finds a way to kind of shoot a spear at the dragon. So that's my assessment of what happened on TV last night. All I'm telling you is it was, I think, some of the most spectacular television I've ever seen. Elif, do you watch Game of Thrones?
No.
Okay. Watch Game of Thrones or find a way to watch that episode, and you'll, never having seen it before, know as much about what's going on as I do. And yet you will come away impressed, going, that was amazing TV.
Should I just watch that clip of the dragon and the gal flying around on the dragon?
Kinda. You could. I mean, you could just watch that one episode. You could just watch that one part of that one episode, and you'd go, wow. Because to think, I mean, this isn't really what you'd call episodic television. 8 episodes every year and a half is not episodic television, but still, it's episodic television. That's just as, because there's going to be another show next week and next week and next week. I mean, it looks like a blockbuster motion picture. It was just really epic and not cheesy. I mean, you can, as my nephew David says, see the money in that episode. Hoo boy.
I like the sound of the clip that we just played. I liked the sound. I can't see what's going on in it.
But you know stuff's going on there, right?
Yeah.
Can you play that again? So here's the dragon just blowtorching the bad guys or the good guys. I don't know. Some guys, it's tough for them because they're getting blowtorched. When I think about, and you could do this, maybe we'll do a Facebook post on this, because maybe you carry around favorite episodes of favorite TV shows of all time. And I only have two that come to mind, but if I think about it, I'll come up with more. And one of them might be an episode from Mayberry RFD. The one where Aunt Bee went on vacation. And then she was worried that they were not going to need or love or want her as much, because when she came back, everything was cleaned up real neat, like they didn't need her. Anyway, I digress. So I would say great TV episodes of all time. Last night's episode from Game of Thrones, In Excelsis Deo, the Christmas episode from West Wing from several years ago. I mean, I've watched that probably 10 times all the way through. You just cry every time you see it. The In Excelsis Deo Christmas episode from West Wing. Maybe the Walnuts episode from the Dick Van Dyke Show. A real departure for the Dick Van Dyke Show. Really creepy, the Walnut episode. Judy Pylex in the newsroom. Judy, is any of this resonating with you?
An episode anything of Game of Thrones is. And yeah. Actually, I would suggest last season's war scene was just unbelievable.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
One of the best scenes I've ever seen anywhere.
And the Red Wedding, right? Is that what they call that one episode?
Yeah. I can barely stomach that one.
But now we're just doing the whole, now we're just saying Game of Thrones every week, and I don't want to do that. I mean, you get to make your own list any way you want, but I'm going to try not to throw up a bunch of Mad Men episodes, but you could do a few Mad Men episodes as well.
Yeah, anything's probably better than Aunt Bee leaving on vacation.
When Aunt Bee goes on vacation, Ope and Ange are worried, that'd be Andy, that she's going to come back.
Your age is showing.
Okay.
Yes, I've seen that episode.
Okay,
it was
fine,
quite touching.
Fine.
It was quite touching,
you know, I think
for the time.
Appreciate it if when somebody comes up with a list, you don't judge the list. You just go, oh, I'm happy for you. That was an important day for you.
Oh, I am happy for you, John. Those are all special.
Everybody's a winner. Good job, Johnny. Good job.
I didn't mean to come across. Maybe I did.
So here's the deal. The city of Chicago is suing the Department of Justice over... Chicago will sue the Trump administration, claiming, I'm reading from the Chicago Sun Crimes Now, new requirements to receive federal money are unconstitutional. The federal government wants the city and the county deputies to cooperate more with ICE officials. If you round somebody up in your jail, they want you to hold them until they get a chance to depose these people, maybe arrest them, maybe export them, deport them. And local municipalities, sheriff's offices across the country are saying, you know what, that's not our job. We don't work for you, and we're not going to hold somebody longer than the charges would require us to hold them. And we're going to release them if they post bond or bail or if there's some reason for us to release them. Even if you think they're here illegally, even if we think they're here illegally, it's not our job. You know, the police for the city aren't the same as the police for the county or the FBI or the CIA or immigration or DEA or ICE. Those are all different agencies with different powers. And so if somebody's locked up at Cook County, and they say, okay, well, you're here for 24 hours or 48 hours, and we aren't going to press charges after all. We're going to release you. And the federal government wants them to keep them longer. The federal government is saying, look, if you don't do what we want, then we won't give you extra money for bulletproof vests and body cams and stuff like that. It's not a lot of money. But the principle is what it's play here. And so the city of Chicago is suing them because they say they're being blackmailed. I think it's an interesting question. What do you want the local city police or sheriff's deputies at the county level to do? Do you want them to do something that's maybe a little extraordinary because these are probably bad guys? And if they're not, then there's no harm, no foul anyway. Or do you want them to adhere to the strict letter of the law? No, we're a sanctuary city. We're not going to do anything other than the letter of the law. Jeff Sessions, Donald Trump, Department of Justice, they want them to do a little bit more. And I don't know where your head is on this, but I'd be interested in knowing what your take on this is. Do you support Chicago in its sanctuary city status? My number's 312-981-7200. Call me right now. I'll take a break. You call me now. We'll put you on the radio. You can text to 312-981-7200. This is WGN. This is John among the texts. King John, if Mayor Rahm Emanuel does not want to enforce federal laws, he should not expect to receive federal dollars. Just saying. From 847, yes, I support Chicago as a sanctuary city. From 847, if you are here illegally, you have no rights. If you are arrested and you are here illegally, you should be held as long as it takes for you to be deported. This is John. You're on WGN. What did you want to say, John?
Yeah, I just wanted to reiterate that, if you're arrested, you're here illegally, I don't know how you can defend these folks and not hold them to send them back, especially when you're getting the federal funding. The other part is this, too. The city of Chicago's broke. I mean, they don't have any money. How much is this lawsuit going to cost taxpayers in Chicago? They just raised the taxes.
Yeah.
The other point, though, too, I wanted to make is that you have X amount of illegals that are probably doing well in the city. They're law-abiding, but we're talking about people who are arrested. And then you also have the crime rate in the city. And I know there was some, I don't know if it was a presidential tweet or something that came out, but that is a pretty good point. We have a big-time murder issue in the city of Chicago and crime, and to focus on this, I frankly don't get it.
Thank you for the call. I appreciate hearing what you think. The Sun-Times says that they have reported previously that in Chicago there's been no known connection between undocumented immigrants and the spike in the city's violent crime. In fact, immigrants commit crimes at a lower rate than native-born citizens or residents. And they say nobody's pointing to, except for the president, the illegal aliens in this city as the reason why it's, you know, who's shooting it? We're shooting ourselves. We don't need to import the problem, and in fact, we are not. But the other point I just wanted to make is that the two law firms that are representing the city in this lawsuit against the federal government are doing a pro bono. They are not charging the city. So I don't know if this is going to cost us money or not, but at least it won't to the attorneys. John on line three, thank you for your call. We'll go to Frank on line two. You're on WGN. Frank, what did you want to say?
Hey, King John. I just wanted to say it's a well-known fact of the crime rate that we've had. I don't understand why they wouldn't want assistance to say if this particular individual who has committed a crime, we want to detain them because perhaps he should not or he should not be here right. legally.
Yeah.
And if we're going to reduce this crime rate together, then we're going to help you because it seems that you can't do it on your own.
I think a lot of people think that way, John, or Frank. I appreciate your call. John and Frank, thanks for jumping in here. I'm going to go to Tom next. You're on WGN. Tom, what do you want to say?
Yes, good afternoon, King John. A few things. I'd like to know who voted on this. Where did this come from?
The sanctuary status thing?
Exactly. Every city, I want to know, because it's not just the actual law-breaking, but there's a lot of ancillary costs that are attributed to it. They add these programs for all these individuals, and then they want to give them driver's license and IDs and on and on and on. It costs a lot of money that the city doesn't have, and I don't know anybody that voted for it.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I don't know the answer to this. We're going to work more on this topic this week. But, all right, if you declare yourself a sanctuary city, does the city council vote on that? I think they do, actually.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
And yes, they did.
So we are, and by the way, that means different things to different cities and different states. You know, sanctuary city status is something you declare, but it's also something you define. So what it is here is different than what it is in San Francisco, for instance, or Seattle. But we declared ourselves that. Now, what are we going to do about that is the question. So if I don't like this, Judy, I need to call my alderman, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of Lollapalooza, in 3, 2, 1... WGN. Who are we listening to here? Arcade Fire?
Yes.
You saw them at Lollapalooza?
I saw them last night.
How'd it go?
Incredible. They put on a spectacular show.
What was the choice? Arcade Fire or
Justice?
Oh, that was the other one they were up against? Justice?
Yeah.
Arcade Fire closed out Lollapalooza?
Yeah.
They were the final act?
Final act.
No offense to Arcade Fire, but I thought they'd have a bigger act closing out Lollapalooza. I mean, you had Chance, you had Lord, you had stuff like that.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Who else was on the competing stage? Usually it's like one or two, but it was Arcade Fire, huh? Was it?
Justice, yeah, which I was surprised by.
And 1 to 10?
I would say 11 for me.
Really? You're a fan, and they knocked it out of the park.
Yes.
How was the crowd?
They were excited and
huge
compared to the Justice crowd.
So you were there for just one day. You can kill the music, Ella. I just want to ask you this question, and that is, how do you think Lollapalooza did? How well did they pull it off?
Well, based on what I heard from my friends who were there.
Multiple days. You were there
multiple
one.
Multiple days. Everybody was tired, but nobody had any complaints.
Because it's always like, do they have enough refreshments and porta potties, and do they run out of ice or soda or beer or something like that? They did a pretty good job?
They did a great job. And I heard that they had the chocolate of Kilwins there. You remember Kilwins in LaGrange?
Oh, no kidding, really?
The fudge place. Yeah, and they had the fudge, ice cream. They had a bunch of really good vendors to choose from. I didn't see a lot. I went yesterday evening.
Oh, so you were there for Arcade Fire?
Solely.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Chance the Rapper got mixed reviews, it sounds like.
Yeah, apparently it was a little choppy, but nobody complained about that to me. I read that in the paper, and I know that from his past performances, but nobody ever complains about him either.
It's 2:57. Rowan, Anna, they do complain about him sometimes. Rokan, Anna DeVlantis in the studio now.
Yes, we are.
Hi, John.
Thank you, John.
I handled that all by myself.
I had to get you were it was very well done. You know, you you started talking about that Game of Thrones show.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh!
And last night's episode top 10. All
time. Oh, so good. I was walking around my living room. Bro's not caught up yet.
Did
so
I spoil
I'm season five, episode three? Right now, just finished episode
You've been
three.
Totally binging. I mean, you've gotten far.
This like in 2 weeks.
Wait a minute. What season are we on now?
Seven.
You do not, you know, I don't know what the statute of limitation is, but season five, episode three, I can't help you.
Yeah.
That's on you, man.
Although, I was so nervous about that, whatever. Battle scene, I don't think that gives anything away. I was marching around my living room. It was crazy.
To say that there was a battle scene in a Game of Thrones episode does not.
I know, it doesn't spoil anything, but I know Ro is sensitive about these things, so I'm trying to be hyper.
I'm working really hard. Really hard to keep up, to catch up to you people. This is an unbelievable.
Did you see the episode last night, Anna?
Yes, I did.
Do you agree with me? If you say all the TV you've ever seen in your life, was that one of the best episodes of television you ever saw?
I think yes. I mean, I had an emotional reaction to it.
Yeah. Mm. I'd say
in a big way.
Robin Laura Petry, the Walnut episode from the Dick Van Dyke Show, is in my top 10.
Okay.
In Excelsis Deo, the Christmas episode from West Wing. Mm-hmm. Those three come to mind. I don't know. Do you get something? This is something that I go best episode of TV ever saw. Boom, go. Does anything jump out?
When Jimmy Smits died on NYPD Blue.
Uh-huh.
That one.
Nice.
The Sopranos. The one where the little dog dies. I don't know. Where Christopher smushes the little dog. Those are all the...
Did you see the Honeybees episode from Gilligan's Island?
I think I did.
I don't recall that one.
That was up there
I know,
for
I
you?
Must have. All I did was watch television when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I don't know anything that I haven't learned from television.
I may have to edit that one out. I'll see. I'll decide.
Yeah.
All right. Well, what are you guys doing today?
Ben Bradley from Bradley Place. This Northwestern professor does not want to get extradited to Illinois. He'd like to just stay in California since he found his way out there. Very interesting
some
story.
Big charges
I thought,
waiting
I thought
him
he
here.
Was going to be extradited and that he wasn't challenging that.
Yeah, but he doesn't want, he's apparently said he does not want to, he would prefer just to have this all done in
I'm
California.
I'm sure he would.
Yeah. I don't know if that's better or worse.
I don't know where you're going to get, I mean, you think they have a more favorable view of murdering somebody over there?
That's crazy. Mr. Skilling is going to talk about the solar eclipse with us because there's actually kind of an interesting historical relationship between this and what happens in cultures and societies.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of wacky.
Can imagine.
We've already had. Are you ready?
Ready.
Are you ready? Kevin Powell's back. Are you ready, Kevin?
Oh, my gosh.
We've already had our first season ender. Is that correct?
That is correct. That
we've
is
got
accurate.
A season
oh,
ender.
No, I hadn't heard.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. What's
bears?
Your season? I'm
season
the
ender
bears.
Injury. Season oh. ending injury for a bear
injury
player.
Injury report.
We'll have that in my sports update.
Yeah,
classic radio tease.
It's the guy I know.
Oh, my gosh. That worries me.
And we will also track the fate of Jay Cutler.
He says he doesn't need to be in great shape. It's the latest.
Well, that's exactly what his agent said. Honey, baby, sweetheart,
it's fine.
Listen,
he's
Dolphins.
He's working out for the broadcast.
It's going to be fine. He's going to be fine. He still has an arm like a howitzer. Anybody know what a howitzer is? All right, thank you very much.